Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, good afternoon if you're in the East Coast. What's up, everyone? This is Danny Pena. Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1171. And joining me for this episode, we have Armando Sanchez. He also has a podcast. Armando, what's up, man?
What's up, Danny? How are you, man? Thanks for bringing me on.
Yeah, Armando, man, tell us a little bit about yourself, man, and also about your podcast. Because I know I've been on your show and you also been on my Bright Live Sessions.
Yeah.
About podcasting.
Bright Sessions.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks. So tell us a little bit about your show, man.
So my podcast is The Safe Point. I do that with my co-host, Alyssa Rosa. The podcast where we just talk about gaming news in general. We're really into anime and other pop culture stuff like the MCU and anything that might fall into that bubble. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all we talk about. It's every Thursday, about 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. And yeah, we talk about the latest gaming news and stuff. We've interviewed a few people. Lucky to have yourself on the show, Tony on the show. We were able to interview a few voice actors, animators too, which is cool. And you can find us on most podcast services for sure.
Awesome, awesome. We also have a cat in the background. Also, as a
guest. That's Perdida. That's actually the Safe Point's producer. She hates being outside of the room when we're recording the podcast.
Oh snap!
Yeah,
wants the attention.
Yeah,
I love
100%.
Cats, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Alyssa and also the whole VGA crew, man.
Yeah,
I know they've been very supportive throughout the years, and it's been great. Can't wait to see what you guys have next in the future, man.
Yeah, more stuff to come, hopefully.
Yeah. And make sure, for those who are listening, and if you're close by to the New York City area, make sure to go to their events. Their events is pretty dope, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, part of the greater brand outside of the podcast, we host like local gaming events, both tournaments for Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, other fighting games, but also just like casual gaming events where we'll bring a lot of our Switches and retro consoles. We've threw a recent one at Bronx Brewery, if anyone's ever been there. We just had all our games laid out, and they got beer. I DJ, and we have a few friends who DJ, so got music, games, drinks, and good time. Kid-friendly, awesome, family-friendly, too.
That's good. That's good to know, man. Good to know. All right, everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also post a review if you are listening through Apple Podcasts through there. It will help us out. We'll get on top of the charts because of that, because of your support. So make sure to do that. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Mondo, man. So I know I was watching your show a couple of days ago. Actually, this past Thursday, you and Alyssa had a great conversation about the Nintendo Switch Online, which... I know there was an announcement about a new tier that's coming out later this month on October 25th. And Nintendo announced during the Animal Crossing Direct, which I find it really odd for them to announce that during that time. But so you get the Nintendo 64. There are going to be a couple games there available. Also Sega Genesis. And also a DLC, which you could buy it also separately if you want. But you will get that DLC totally for free if you join the next tier of the subscription service of Nintendo Switch Online. So I was listening to your conversation, and I agree. Like, I don't find it expensive because of the amount of games that are going to be available there. And actually, Nintendo released their Nintendo 64 controller within minutes. It sold out. So this, a lot of people are excited about it, right? The problem that I have with Nintendo, which we're going to be talking about, the features and everything is available there. The problem that I have with Nintendo is before we were getting content every month. You know, PlayStation does that with PlayStation Now. Mm-hmm. Not PlayStation Now, but with the PlayStation Plus service, right? Xbox Live do that, not only with Game Pass, but also with Xbox Live Gold. So we know there's going to be content every month. Nintendo decided to not really announce it. It's just like randomly, whenever they feel like they'll announce like new games are going to be added to the service. And I feel like a lot of the fans are disappointed, not because it's more of the price, but for me, it's more of like, okay, what is the what are we going to get to see in the future with the service? Are we going to get new features? Yo, show us like plans of what's coming in the future. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Is it worth paying that amount of dollars, $50 for the whole year, if we don't know what other plans are, you know, for Nintendo? So what do you have to say about that, man?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, like I said on that show, and you and I spoke about this briefly when you were in town watching the billboard. I thought, mm-hmm. I don't want to say I knew, but I was confident that the price was going to double for the N64 and the Sega. Because the N64, mostly the N64, because you could buy the Sega collection and you can get a majority of the games that are offered there, and even more games than that for, I think, maybe $40, and you can get it on sale too. But mm-hmm. the N64, for me, there's no real easy or cheap way to play a lot of those N64 games. And for me, that's a problem that like Nintendo's created, where they make it really difficult to carry over your past purchases. You know, like you might have played Ocarina of Time on your 3DS, can't mm-hmm. carry over that 3DS purchase. Or I think it was available on the eShop for the Wii or the Wii U, and you know, that's not transferable to your Switch. So, and you're right. I think people have a gripe with, you know, I think people would be willing to pay more for a service that they felt was actually worth it. I think, you know, outside of the consoles alone, you know, the internet service itself isn't very great. You know, no voice chat, no in console voice chat. You know, you got to go download an app on your phone to talk via voice chat, which I know a lot of people don't like doing. And, you know, like people complain about the net code and how, you know, Smash Online isn't that reliable and things of that nature. So it kind of sucks that they didn't make a good faith move in sort of improving the actual service, the actual online service itself, which might have left a bad taste in people's mouths. Because like you said, I agree. I don't think the price is too expensive. And also, you know, to be compared to PlayStation Now and Game Pass, like if we're going to do that, they're the only ones who offer a real family plan where you can have a single plan and it be used across multiple devices. And all those devices can play those games and access the features all at the same time, where like, you know, if I'm playing Game Pass on my PC, I would have to log off of my Xbox and vice versa. So I got to give them a little credit in creating at least an option where if you're lucky enough to find seven people to split it with, it would come out to just $10 a year, you know, for each person rather than the $50. But I think this is Nintendo knowing that their product is premium and people love, you know, their IPs. Like I was so excited. Like you said, the N64 remote sold out in minutes. So there's a demand there for that. And I do think that the Animal Crossing DLC being on there is really, really interesting. It is.
Yeah. It is. Because like, is it possible that we're going to get to see other DLC from future first-party Nintendo games that is also going to be on the service? If it's something like that, I'm down to pay this $50 a month if it's like that. You know, but Nintendo has
a year,
but at least mention that to the fans, to the consumers. For if sure. You just announce this randomly and just stay quiet, because Nintendo is notorious to do that, mm-hmm. like of just not saying anything. You'll find out later. You know, it's all about communication, man. Get the consumers excited. I want everybody to feel like, man, it's worth paying this amount of money because of, not only because of the Nintendo 64 games, Sega Genesis games, but also the DLC content that's going to be totally for free. I think that's awesome. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, I think Nintendo needs to do that more often, man. Just show us future plans of what's coming for the service.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we only know about, you know, future N64 games that are coming. If I'm not mistaken, they didn't show us any plans to add future Sega games. Though I would almost feel safe to assume that they will, just because they've always added to the NES and the SNES, and they have plans to do it with the N64, so why wouldn't they? And I think I personally think that the addition of the Animal Crossing DLC is so interesting, because how do you not add more DLC in the future? You know, like if we fast forward a year from now and we're looking back at the service and it's still just the N64 plus some additional games that they told us were coming, Sega plus some additional games, and then that Animal Crossing DLC just right there randomly. I think it's really, I think it'd be weird, and I think for the Animal Crossing fans who are buying into the service, probably wouldn't feel great about that, because then after a year you're just like, damn, I could have just paid $25, gotten the DLC, and you know, been on my way, same way they have with every other DLC that they've put out. So I'm hoping that it's the beginning of a change of methodology, that we might get future DLC, maybe the next Pokemon Arceus, maybe a Breath of the Wild DLC, because then it becomes more enticing, you know. I know for a lot of people, Game Pass wasn't the great value then what it is now. And we didn't know all the things that were going to come. We didn't know EA Play was going to come. We didn't know, I personally didn't know that, like, you know, we were going to get so many third-party games day one, not just their own games. And so the future holds potential. Will Nintendo do it? Who knows? They're Nintendo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But here's another problem that I have, though, too. I stopped playing Animal Crossing months ago.
Yeah.
I don't feel like getting or buying this DLC. So what about that crowd? You know, what else they could get hype about besides playing Nintendo 64 games and Sega Genesis games? Because right now they're promoting this more for the Animal Crossing crowd. But there's a lot of people that are not fans of Animal Crossing. So what about them? That's another thing that needs to figure that out too.
Yeah, and that's where I have hope that another DLC is going to come. And like, say, for example, it's Pokemon. Pokemon fans are going to say, oh, shoot, maybe the service is worth it for me. I know I'm going to get the service for the N64. And I too, stopped playing Animal Crossing regularly a long time ago. But some of the updates in the DLC and the paid DLC did make me look at it and say, oh, man, you know what? I might go check on my villagers, you know, see how they're doing. It's been a while.
Yeah. Oh, no, my islands is pretty bad. Well, that's everybody's gonna look at me like, wow, bro, you haven't been here for a long time. What's up with
this? That's a funny thing. Part of the free update is they made quality of life updates where, like, now you can set it that your island doesn't get weeds anymore. Because I know for me personally, that was the reason I stopped playing Animal Crossing. I wasn't checking it often enough that every time I did check it, my island was full of weeds. And I was just, dang, this is what I came to do, clean the weeds up and then get off my Switch.
Yeah. Yeah, but now the exciting part about Nintendo Switch Online is, besides, of course, Nintendo 64 games and Sega Genesis games, now we're going to get to play these games online. So just imagine this. Imagine in the future we get a game like GoldenEye 64 to play online. That will be something really cool, and that will be the first time that we're actually going to play that game online. You know, something like that. Or I don't know if they can manage to do this, but let me tell you, if Nintendo figure out a way to get WWF No Mercy or the WCW versus New Order from back then, online, I'll be all in. Yeah. Let's do it. That would be amazing. But I really doubt that's going to happen. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't know. Yeah. And shout out to Emily Rogers. She posted this on her, on Twitter, that the reason for the price for, you know, this being $50, et cetera, and also the family plan, I think it's like, what, $79.99, $80 for the year. The reason the price is that high is because of the licensing. Yep. So think about it. Sega Genesis, right? Banjo-Kazooie, that's a Microsoft product. That's a Microsoft game now. It's all about licensing and other games that we're going to get to see in the future. And honestly, it's still cheap. Yeah. If you're still thinking about it, like how much you pay for the year, you know, that's why we're going to get to see something like that. But that's why I think the majority of games that we're going to see in a couple of days is all first-party games.
Yep.
They came out for Nintendo 64, yeah. Which game are you excited about? Because I can tell you right now the ones that I'm excited about. But go ahead.
If we stick to the online, I am so excited to play Star Fox 64 online.
Ooh, that's a great one.
Because I don't know about you. I play that game a lot by myself, and there's just some things in that game you just can't get done by yourself because you really need a team that's getting the job done. And so I'm excited to play that with friends. And man, they opened that direct, like when they showed it, they opened it up with Ocarina of Time. And I am so looking forward. Because again, like for me, I haven't played, you know, I left my N64 with my cousins in DR in 2003. I haven't really played N64 games since then. And for me, Ocarina is like up there as one of my favorite games of all time. And so I'm really excited to play this game, play it on the go, and not be grounded to my television while I'm playing it. And yeah, you know, be good. What about you?
Yeah. Well, for me, Star Fox 64 is one of my favorite ones, man. I love that game. I finished it so many times. I remember playing that in Dominican Republic. I'm like, oh my God, this thing is amazing. Yeah. And then I also took that to Miami. But yeah, we're going to get to see Super Mario 64, The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Mario Kart 64, Mario Tennis, Dr. Mario 64, also Yoshi's Story, and there's a couple other ones. But in the future, we're going to get to see Banjo-Kazooie, Pokemon Snap. Are you excited for that one? Pokemon Snap? Yep. I don't play
Pokemon. I'm excited for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Majora's Mask and also Paper Mario. I think those are great games, you know. But it says here additional titles are also planned for the future. Mm-hmm. But how long? Are we going to wait a very long time? Is this going to be something like every quarter? Nintendo got to be better with this, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So...
No, 100%. There's still a lot of questions up in the air. And I know that's one of the things that has people aggravated. Like, it's like, all right, cool, more games are coming. But how often? Because a lot of people are like, they weren't adding SNES games or NES games every week or anything like that. You know, Game Pass is churning them out and letting us know. That Game Pass does a great job at that. I think they could learn from Game Pass in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. So for those who are listening, please let us know, are you getting the Nintendo Switch Online? The second tier, the one with the Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis tier. Let us know. I'm very curious to see how many of y'all are actually getting it. Look, I'm getting it. I'm just a fan of Nintendo 64. I don't care much about the controller. I'd rather just play with the one that we have now with the Joy-Cons or the Pro controller. Are you planning to get the 64 controller?
Not at all. If you want to talk about something that's too expensive, that is too expensive.
That's very expensive. Yeah. But it sold out within minutes.
It did.
Within minutes. Now, the Sega Genesis controller, I don't see myself buying that at all.
Yeah.
That's one thing about, like, I love the Sega Genesis, but I was never a fan of that controller.
Yeah, no.
It's only three buttons.
It's a three button, feel like, right? Yeah.
I think that the Super NES controller was one of my favorite, still to this day, one of my favorite Nintendo controllers out there. Mm-hmm. It's so, so good. And it was perfect. And if you think about it, that was the first controller that we got the L and R buttons. You know? Also, Nintendo started the whole select and start button. That was Nintendo too, man.
Yeah.
Before anybody else, you know? So, really, really cool. Awesome, man. So, yeah, let us know. Send us an email at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Let me know your thoughts. Do you agree, disagree? Very curious to hear from everybody. Now, Armando, so this is something I want to show you, man. I got this from NVIDIA. This is very small, by the way. This is the NVIDIA Shield TV. Mm. It's an Android device where you could connect it to your TV. And not only you could play games, but you could also download like apps, you know, like Netflix and Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, stuff like that. So I've been trying out the GeForce Now from NVIDIA. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised because I've never tried this before. This is like my first time, and I'm going to be testing it out because I'm planning to get people from the team to be here on the show because I'm super curious about their plans or the stuff that they're working on now with GeForce Now. Mm-hmm. So in the future, I'm going to have them on the show, but I'm very excited to try this out. Like, so what I did, I connected my Steam account, my Ubisoft account, and also other accounts there. So you don't have to download the game through your computer in order to play it here. So what it does is, sorry about that. What it does is it picks up my account and it will stream the games that there's a list on their page where it's available through their cloud. And all you have to do is just connect and just play. You don't have to download or anything like that. So I just downloaded a couple games yesterday. And I'm going to be testing this more actually today or sometime this week. But I have games like Control, Alan Wake, Apex Legends, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think Destiny also is in there too. Anything that's on Steam or Ubisoft account, like Far Cry 6 is already there. Epic Game Store, I got it. I got it there too. So, and it's been a really cool experience. It's pretty, really cool. And it's super easy to set up and everything. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing this because I just want to try out new things, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm having a blast so far.
Yeah, no. It's kind of crazy how the landscape of gaming is changing. You know, I think for so long we've been used to it just being the three big players, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. But, you know, now with Amazon just had that successful MMO on the Steam store, it kind of makes you look at Luna like, oh, man, you know, are they going to make some, are they going to continue making good games over there? And what does that look like, you know, with a company that has as much money as they do to spend and develop games and stuff? And GeForce, I didn't know that about the GeForce, that it was like almost like a central hub for everything. I almost thought that they were trying to be their own Steam or their own Epic. I actually think that that's really cool that you could just take your games from all these different places and that, like, it's just a central hub and you can play them there. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, and it's easy to set up. And I think, you know, not only you could play on your TV, but if you're on the go, get your phone, download the GeForce Now app, and you could play like games like that too on the go. Like, same thing with that I've done with other services, you know? So I think that's going to be the future. That's one thing that a lot of people have been asking me is, Danny, what do you think is going to happen in the future with gaming? And I think it's going to be more about the services more than anything than just getting the console. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like having something like this on the go, because there's going to be games that's only available on PC that I can't play on my console. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we probably will get it like a year or two years later for the console, but most of the time it will be only exclusive, and I want to try this out. And I see everybody talking about like New World, for example. Yeah. I haven't played that because I don't play a lot of PC games, but having something like this will help me to not only stream through the cloud to play the games, but also will help me to connect the services that I have from like Steam, Epic, etc. And I could just play through my TV. I'm like, all right, I'm not missing out. I don't need a very strong, powerful PC to play these games. You know what I'm saying? So that's the exciting part for me, because it's the same thing as like the things that Xbox is doing. You know, it's going to help to get new people to try it out, to try all these games. And I feel like nobody's going to be missing out. So that's how I feel now with PC gaming and NVIDIA, you know? So I'm excited. I'm very excited about that.
No, yeah, and a lot of these services and products are sort of lowering the barrier to entry for gaming, you know? Gaming is really expensive. $500 for a, you know, premium console, $60, $70 for a game. It's a lot of money to spend, you know, and things like Game Pass definitely make, you know, games more accessible. Cloud gaming is I think that's going to change, you know, the world. Like, xCloud isn't perfect, but I play it on my computer and it runs almost flawlessly. You know, I'm hardwired and stuff. When I'm playing on my phone next to my Wi-Fi, it works really, really great. And so, yeah, looking forward to more stuff like this, more accessibility across the board to play video games.
Yeah. That part is very exciting. And here's a conversation I've been having with Paris and Pete here on the show, is cloud gaming. The reason why I'm very excited about it is because of low income families that can't afford a new Xbox, you know, but maybe they can afford a service like GeForce Now, Xbox Game, X Cloud, maybe PlayStation Now. That is going to change the industry completely, because not only they could afford to buy these games or afford the subscription service, all they need is a device.
Yep,
it could be a little device you connect to your TV, or maybe they have an old console, but now you can stream it, or you get the Nvidia Shield, like something like this. I think that's gonna completely change everything, man. And not only that, I was even testing out a game, Control, for the Nintendo Switch OLED, just Nintendo Switch overall, and it played pretty good.
Oh, yeah, because that was just there, the cloud, just right?
Over the cloud too. I know they started doing that in Japan, but doing that here in the States for the first time, I'm like, okay, this is I see the potential with this, man. I think now I prefer to do something like what I'm doing with the GeForce Now and Xbox, that you just pay for the service instead of buying the game, like how Stadia is doing. I'm not really a fan of that, of buying the games. And, you know, if I'm buying it, I'd rather have the download version and also the cloud version. I think that works better than just, okay, here, the cloud. Yeah, it's like think of it as like Netflix charging for, let's say, a movie like Fear Street. You get the trilogy. You pay it and you watch it. But that's it. You don't own it or anything like that. I don't know. I find that kind of weird and strange for me. But do you prefer doing stuff like that, like with Google Stadia, what they're doing, like
no,
something like that?
No,
or,
not at
or you
all.
Prefer like a service?
If I'm gonna pay service. For it, I want to own it, like physically. I mean, I'm big on physical ownership, so like I buy all my games physically. I rarely will buy a game digital. So I'm big on that. I wouldn't pay full price for something that at the end of the day I can't have, so to speak. And to stream it, though I think that is a future we're moving into. You know, having it downloaded and playing, you know, with no input lag or anything like that will still be the better option. I like xCloud and cloud gaming like that because I've been able to start a lot of games that would have been a 100 gig download or a 80 gig download, and been able to play an hour of it and say, all right, is this a game I'm going to continue playing or that I like? And I either leave it at that or I keep it pushing. Or games like Yakuza, like RPGs, JRPGs that aren't built up on how quickly you can react to something, and you know it's turn based. I've enjoyed playing games like that a lot over
same X-Cloud. Here, man.
Like Yakuza, Like a Dragon, number one. Like, oh my goodness. So that's been really fun, and just knowing that if I do experience a little lag, it's not going to ruin my gameplay.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing I have to mention for those that want to try out the NVIDIA GeForce Now, because I forgot to mention this, is they do have a free version where you could just sign up, try it out for like a good hour session, test it out, and that would be cool.
That is cool.
So, you know, connect all your favorite store, Epic, Steam, etc., and try it out.
Yep.
You could do it from your phone, any device, and it's totally for free. I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. So I think that's important for people at least to test things out to see if they're going to like it or not. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, check it out.
Yeah, no, and like you said, I think I mentioned this earlier, a lot of gamers are poor. You know, like I grew up poor. I had a lot of consoles, but that was also because my older brother bought a lot of those consoles. But my mom was down to buy me like a full-priced game once every quarter, you know? And I would run through that game as much as I possibly could, you know, maybe catch one on sale. And so for a lot of people, you know, diminish the value of like some of these services, like, oh, you know, I played a lot of those games. Well, you did, but I know millions of people that didn't. There's millions of people all around the world that have never played games and has always been interested in that thing. And so that's definitely going to open that door. Anywhere that has a browser, interesting.
Yeah. You know what? That's good that you brought that up, man, because I remember my grandmother bought me the Atari 2600. This is like way back in the days. And I'm there walking. I think it was in the Bronx. I was walking with my dad and my mom. And I remember looking at one of the stores, and they had the brand new Nintendo. And I saw the price. I'm like, oh, my God. I really doubt that my mom.
How much was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was like $300-$400, something like that. This is way back. It just came out.
So
it came out with the robot and everything in there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is before Super Mario World and Dunk Hunt was available.
They come with the gun, but no, okay.
No. This is before that bundle came out, but. I remember mentioning that to my mom, and she's like, nah, it's too expensive. Maybe in the future. And there's a lot of family that are like that now. Mm-hmm. You know, they just can't go and buy a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X or even a PC, which is even more expensive. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So giving that option, I think, is good maybe they have a Chromebook, let's just say. It had a good browser, using Chrome. You could play cloud gaming through there, you know, something like that. So having those options is going to help out for parents to figure things out. They're going to find a way which version they want and which is the cheapest for them. Mm-hmm. And now their kids could go out there and play these games, you know, and they don't have to worry about, oh man, I got to get the latest brand new console. They don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Or latest PC. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I've personally found a good mixture of both. Like, you know, I have Game Pass and I play a lot of games on there, but I'm still buying games. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still, you know, looking out for sales and I'm like, oh wow, I've been wanting to play that game. Let me go buy it and own it. And so I'm still doing a little bit of both. But yeah, options are always good.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor, Coinbase. Do you identify as a crypto curious? If you thought about entering the world of cryptocurrency but felt a little overwhelmed, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Cryptocurrency might feel like a secret or an exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, yes, that right, everyone, everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, just like me, Coinbase can help. MuchCoin, SuchBase. If you've been following the cryptocurrency craze, now it is the time to get started and get involved. Coinbase makes it easy and quick to start your own portfolio and learn to trade like a pro. And actually, for those that are listening, I just started using Coinbase like this year. My fiance been doing using this now for a very long time, and she was telling me, Danny, you need to try it out. And I did it, and it's simple, and I get all my notifications and updates through my phone, and I'm always checking actually daily. And I highly recommend for those that are very, very curious about Coinbase. Plus, Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They also support most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app, which is the one that I have, so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. Now, this is time for call for action here for GTR listeners. For a limited time, new users will get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/GTR. That's coinbase.com/GTR, and you get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up. Again, sign up right now and get $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
So yeah, again, let us know your thoughts about cloud gaming and if you tried it. Okay, if you guys have been trying out the NVIDIA GeForce Now, please let me know because I'm still brand new to this. It reminded me when I first got the Steam Machine years ago. I was super excited. I discovered so many great indie games that before it came out on console, I discovered through Steam. So any tips, any advice of games that I should definitely try out through this device, please let me know. Hit me up at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Mondo, anything else from your side? And I know we were going back and forth for like different topics. The news has been kind of light, honestly. I mean, there's stuff like with a DC fandom that just happened.
I was going to ask, yesterday. Did you see the trailers? Those trailers looked good for Gotham Knights really and good. Suicide Squad.
Yeah, really good. But besides that, I want to mention about the Batman trailer. Oof, oh my God, that looks good. That looks really good, man.
March 4th cannot come fast enough. Let me tell you.
Damn, it looks... But even the Flash little teaser wasn't that bad. No. I was like, okay, it's not bad.
Black
not
Adam,
bad.
Did you watch the Black Adam teaser? They showed us like a little clip
of
it. Yeah, that looked good too.
Yeah, yeah. From the rapper Da Rock, yes. Because now he's rapping out, like, what?
Is? You know what it is? No. I think The Rock has a list of, like, boxes he's checking off. He's like, all right, football player, check. Wrestler,
yeah. Bucket check. List.
Actor,
bucket list, yeah,
check. He was like, damn. He looked at the rapper, he's like, I'm going to come back to that one. And he recently came back to
it. Let me hit up Tech N9ne so I could do a rap song. I'm excited to play the new Warner Brothers games that's coming out in the future, man. Looks, which one out of the two that got your attention the most and why?
Oh, man. I'm most excited to play Gotham Knights, but I think the concept of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, is really, really interesting. Like, I just think that that approach to that story, I haven't personally seen it told in that light, on like a popular sense, you know, where like they're killing the Justice League. I thought it was kind of intense, but yeah, I'm equally a little more excited for Gotham Knights, but Suicide Squad shocked me. I wasn't expecting to be that surprised and taken aback by it.
That's the one I'm excited for the most. Yeah. Suicide Squad. Very excited. By the way, breaking news, and this is from one of our viewers here that mentioned about, how do you pronounce this?
Yo Moon.
It says, Xbox Game Studios Publishing just tweeted out that they're announcing something rumored to be small tomorrow. What could it be? And I'm just looking at it right now. Okay, again, this is breaking news. I'm looking at their tweet, and it says, we're excited to kick off something special tomorrow. In parentheses, just give us one more day to prepare the chickens. What could it be? What could it be?
Oh, man.
I just saw this. Right. Could it be Fable? Because Fable, there is chickens in Fable.
Would you show a trailer like on a Monday, random Monday like that? I think that's a little weird.
But here's the thing, Xbox. I gotta give Xbox some props because the team has been really great at giving us news almost every week, sometimes even multiple times a week, and it's been like that now for like the past year plus, almost 2 years. So. This could be something about Fable, I think, man, because there is chickens in the game.
Yeah.
So could it be
the chickens line was definitely purposeful.
Yeah. That is exciting. Prepare the chickens. It's definitely a Fable thing. It can't be PUBG. Because PUBG, there is chicken too. Aren't they? Sure. Yeah. So for those are watching, I'm very excited to see what it is that they're going to announce tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think it's something Fable related.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. It's not from Game Pass. This is from the publishing. So it could be that they're probably re-releasing one of the old games, or maybe it could be on the Switch. Who knows?
I mean, a Fable remaster wouldn't be a terrible idea as we move into the next Fable coming out. I haven't gone back and played the first one in a long time, but I can't imagine that it feels as smooth, now that, you know, we've made all the advancements and mechanics that we have. You know, some games just feel clunky from that time. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so props to, and thank you. Yo, I'm Moon. Okay, that's the name. Yo, I'm Moon. Hey, man, it's hard to read this through the chat.
And I mean, to your point about how, you know, Nintendo could do a better job at, you know, letting us know what's coming. Microsoft will let us know what's coming. They're not afraid to let us know what's coming down the pipeline.
Not.
And they appreciate that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very excited. Very excited. Very cool to see. I'm very excited about Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. I think that's the game to really look out for, man. Out of the whole WB.
Did they give us exact dates for either of those? I don't think so, right?
Well, for that one is 2022. Next year is coming out.
Okay. And we already knew that for Gotham Knights.
Yeah. I mean, if you can think about it, that's very interesting because, you know, with COVID and everything right now, the pandemic, it's been kind of hard for developers who work in these games from the studio. So they've been doing everything from home. Now, slowly, people are going now back to the studios who work on the games, but it's very cool and exciting to see this from them. That say, hey, it's coming out next year. That's it, you know. But who knows? From now to next year, probably the game gets delayed. Who knows? But It's pretty cool.
Yeah. No,
can't wait.
Is.
Can't wait to try it out.
In 2022, I mean, if it wasn't already looking like a crazy year for gaming, just put another stamp. Ugh, my wallet's crying already.
Now, out of the games that's coming out next year, Armando, which can you say top three games that you're like, okay, I'm very excited for this? And for those who are listening, send us an email, family@gamertagradio.com. Let us know your top three games that's coming out next year. It doesn't have to be all the way from the holiday season. It could be any time next year. So, Mondo, go first, man. I'll tell you mine.
I'm going to take one from each of the major consoles. So, God of War, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the most.
Is that 2022? Is that
they haven't confirmed it, but my goodness, are they really going to push it to 2023? I think that would be so bad, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I'm excited.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm excited. That game too. If that game comes out in 2022, that one, I am looking forward to Horizon or Final Fantasy 16, even though when they told me 2022, I was like, really?
That game always gets delayed, so that's a huge question mark.
Yeah, that's a huge question mark.
very, very
yeah,
big.
I'm confident that God of War is going to be 2022, so I'm clinging on to hope on that one. So Starfield on the Xbox side.
Ooh, yes, that's one of my top ones.
Yeah, and
one of my top
ones. Breath of the Wild isn't confirmed for 2022, is it? That's another question mark.
Knows.
Even though I'm kind of expecting it, it's not confirmed. So I'm gonna go with Arceus. I'm actually really interested in what this new Pokemon game is gonna be like, especially since recently they said that it wasn't gonna be like, you know, the similar kind of open worlds we're used to seeing in Pokemon, mm-hmm. like we saw in Sword and Shield. Yeah. That it's gonna be more area based. Kind of like a Monster Hunter, so I'm interested because I like Monster Hunter. So I'm like, okay, I like that, but how is that going to work in this? And I'm always down for a new Pokemon game. So
yeah, Monster Hunter for the Switch, the one that just came out, the last one. I heard is really good.
Really good.
I gotta try it out. Yeah. So I'll tell you mine. Starfield, 100%. That's number one for me. Also, Bayonetta 3.
Oh man, yeah, yeah.
I've been waiting for that very long time. And he's a random one that I think people were not expecting. I'm excited about the new Ninja Turtles game.
Ooh.
I don't care. I love Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite beat 'em ups. I put it up there with Streets of Rage 2 and 4. But yeah, I want to try that out. I'm very hype up for that game. Super hype.
And it looks so good. Like the character models, the artwork is so good. So good.
Yeah, yeah.
I recently played through Streets of Rage and that's a title that was revitalized because of like the art style and how clean it looks now.
Yeah. Also Horizon Forbidden West. Again, this is more than three games, but Horizon Forbidden West. I think I'm more excited for that more than God of War. I know God of War is going to be fantastic, game of the year contender, but I just love those type of games like that from PlayStation, man. I just love it. Definitely want to play that. And also in the future, I don't know if it's going to be 2022, but yo, what's up with Metro Prime 4,
oh,
man?
Oh my God.
Jesus
Danny.
Christ. When that game is coming
Danny,
out.
Danny, they're killing me, man. They're killing me.
Yeah.
So, do we get a trilogy? You know, now that you know Metroid Dread did so well and like has kind of like revitalized that IP, it'd be really exciting to get to replay those games on the Switch before Metroid Prime 4 came out.
Have you been playing that at all? Metroid Dread is really good.
I haven't.
It's so hard. Let me tell you, it's very challenging. Yeah. But I love the game. The animation, everything is good, man. I know there was and we're gonna wrap it up in a few minutes here, but I know there was some people posting, which was trending on Twitter, about $60 game of like, why would you pay $60 for Metroid Dread because of the graphics? It's some fanboy crap. And I'm like,
or how long it takes to beat, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'll pay $60 for Metroid Dread. That game is fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic game, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. People also have to understand, it's not all about the graphics. I know that we're comparing to like a God of War game that's $60. I'm like, bro, come on. Really? How are you going to compare Nintendo and PlayStation, totally different companies, like the way how they develop games and everything. And Nintendo is not about the graphics. Nintendo is more about like just the experience of fun games. You know what I'm saying? And I'll pay the $60.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
I
don't mind at all.
We should get out of the habit of tying any experience you get in a game, like how long a game is or how hard a game is or anything like that, to its price. Like, I've played plenty of games that were gonna take me 70 hours to beat, and I gave up after 15, 20 hours because it just wasn't fun, you know? And I've played 10-hour games that I was like, dang, I'm going to run this back again, you know? Which a lot of people have been saying about Metroid Dread.
No, definitely. So we're going to wrap it up here. But Armando, so let us know how people could listen to your show and website or even follow you on social media.
You can find me on social media at Chancleta Mangu, and that is Chancleta Mangu on everything. You can follow the Video Game Amateurs, VG Amateurs. We stream on Twitch and we host events locally in NYC. So if you're in the local NYC area, give us a follow. Come through to one of our events. You know, they're fun.
And compete.
Why not? Yeah, we have some tournaments. We have some tournaments coming up soon. Can't announce anything yet, but be on the lookout for that. Come out and just have a good time. Listen to some music. Play some games too. And follow my co-host and of the Safe Point, Alyssa Rosa, on everything. And
yeah, she's in the chat right now.
Shout out to Alyssa. You can find The Safe Point on all of your favorite podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon. You can go on our Audio Boom website, and it has like all the links to all the services if you want to go to your preferred one.
Dope. And also, for those who are listening in the podcast version, I'm going to put it under the description, so just click it, subscribe, follow them. I also will post their social media accounts too. Yeah, give them a follow. They're really appreciate cool peeps, them. And they're also great podcast, man. So make sure to check it
Thanks,
out.
Thanks, Danny. I appreciate
that. All right, so everyone, no problem. Everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. We have a lot. We have now 1,171 episodes available to download. You know, the other day someone hit me up that just discovered us, just found the show recently, and he went back from January and listened to every single episode that came out from January to now, and he did it in a week or two. He said he finished every time. I was like, wow, I'm impressed. That's insane. So shout out to him, man, for doing that. That was really cool. I can't remember his name, but
shout out to him.
Really, really cool.
That's what's up. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's what's up, right? And also, you could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Just follow us, subscribe, also post a review. Doesn't matter where around the world. I will get a notification, and I'll see the reviews, good or bad. That would be awesome. And now, if you would like to be part of our fan mode discussion, maybe there's something that we talked about here that you disagree, you agree, you have your own opinion, send it right here.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1171. And P and Paris are going to be joining us in the future, but stay tuned. I'll let you know when. That's going to be a while, but stay tuned for that. And I'll see you until next time. Later this week, we're going to have another episode. Take care. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.